You'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 13, and reading from verse 14. Mark chapter 13, and reading from verse 14, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house, and let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. And our subject this evening is the darkness of the last days. Well, we've reached this point in Mark's Gospel, and the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to the disciples about, well, we can read this as two or even three things. Specifically, he is speaking about the destruction of the temple of the Jewish nation in AD 70. The Jews, well, they will rise up against the Roman forces, the Roman oppressors as they see them, and they will be crushed most brutally in AD 70. And we considered a fortnight ago the beginning of this chapter, and the Lord Jesus saying how not one stone will be left upon another of the temple, and that spoke of the destruction of the temple, speaking specifically of AD 70. But there is also another level of interpretation here which we cannot ignore. The Lord is also speaking about the end times, the times that immediately precede his second coming before the end of the world. But these two ideas, as it were, these two things, the destruction of the temple in AD 70 and the devastating signs of the end times, well, they're so entwined in this chapter that you cannot really separate one from the other. No one verse speaks specifically about the temple being destroyed. It also includes the end times. But no verse speaks specifically about the end times. It also incorporates the destruction of the temple and the great trial that the Jewish nation will have to face in the near future as they are speaking. So there are those things to consider. But of course, the Lord is speaking also about his return and what that means for his people. But, well, let's look at verse 14, and we shall consider some of these words and apply them to how we ought to live and how we ought to interpret these things in the light of the modern day. Verse 14, but when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. Well, these on first reading can be quite intimidating words to understand, but with each section in this chapter I'm going to give a title, and the title for this particular verse is that the end times, the last days, will be a time of no regard for high and holy things. No regard for high and holy things. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ quotes Daniel the prophet, and we have these words, the abomination of desolation. That's from Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. But really, they could be interpreted a desolating sacrilege. Desolating sacrilege. Sacrilege, which means, of course, when something holy is defiled or corrupted or spoiled. Well, that is what will happen to Jerusalem, to the Jewish nation in AD 70. They have their temple that is so sacred to them. And what will happen to it? Well, it will be desecrated, as it were. the Gentile nations, those who they abhor, their Roman oppressors, abomination, they will come, they will overthrow Jerusalem, they will destroy the temple, they will throw down every single stone. And ordinarily speaking, well, we know that in the temple no Gentiles were allowed. It was a holy place, and yet these Roman oppressors will come and will, have their way with the temple and with the Jewish nation. And so it will be the end of the temple and, by extension, the Jewish nation. It will lead the nation desolate. There will be desolation once the temple has fallen. And so that is how we can read this. When ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, that which they esteem so highly, the temple being overrun by Gentiles, burnt to the ground, this is an abomination, and it will leave the Jewish nation totally desolate. That's what it means. When ye shall see the abomination of desolation, high and holy things just trampled underground, and that will be the end for them as a Jewish nation. Well, when we understand it that way, well, then that helps us to apply it to the end times, the last times immediately preceding the Lord Jesus Christ and his return. There will be no respect for high and holy things. There will be sacrilege committed openly by those without the church and those within the church most particularly. And we did touch upon this morning, but we live in conspicuously evil times. But let's think about the church, the abomination of desolation. Well, we see in the church, particularly the Anglican church, the recognized church, as it were, many abominations taking place nowadays. Abominations that would never have been thought of throughout the long history of the church, but now everything is being welcomed in. The abomination of desolation. We see things happening in the churches that go directly against the word of God. Things that God directly, specifically calls abominations. The church is embracing same-sex relationships and same-sex marriages increasingly, and certain voices in evangelical circles encouraging these things. These are abominations, yet they're being allowed in. And more and more people seem to think that's okay. Yes, we'll have them in the church. It's only a matter of time. Well, these are signs of the end times. Abomination of desolation. And then we, of course, have the women preachers and so forth. And, well, these things, abominations, they're making desolation of the church as well. Of course they are. Making the church desolate in meaning. Well, if the church rejects the Bible, the true teaching of the Bible says one thing is an abomination, the church says, oh no, we don't worry about that, we'll just bring these things in. Well, then the church loses all its meaning. It is stripped out of all meaning for it. It becomes desolate in that sense. It becomes desolate in power. The church is dependent upon the blessing, the power of God for its success, for its prosperity. But when all these things come in that go against God's word, well, the power is gradually being sapped completely from it. And so many other things. Desolation, its identity is stripped. Its beauty is stripped. The beauty of the church, well, so many great preachers have mentioned this. The beauty of the church is not when it embraces the world. The beauty of the church is when it stands apart, stands holy, separate. That is how God has called the church to be. Be ye separate. That is when it's beautiful. But well, when we have these abominations and these things brought in, it loses all its beauty. It becomes desolate in that sense. And we could go on, so many other abominations or things akin to abominations coming into the church. You have the rap music being increasingly welcomed into churches for worship. These are things of the world. You have heavy metal, thrash metal coming in even into Christian worship. Surely these are abominations, and they are standing in the churches, standing where it ought not, as we read here in this prophecy. They ought not to be in the church, and yet we see them increasingly. So we can see the fulfillment of these things even in this day and age, when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. But then we read in the second part of verse 14, then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And, the best way we can interpret these passages is to give another title. And this title is that the end times will be a time of enforced flight. Enforced flight. Enforced retreat, as it were. Well, we have Christ as our captain, our king. And in some military conflicts, the captain has to lead us away from the battle. A retreat. In order to save us, in order to preserve us. And that is a little bit of what we see here. This is how we interpret these things. An enforced flight. Specifically speaking, concerning Jerusalem and AD 70, the Lord is saying, when you see the Roman armies coming and besieging Jerusalem, you flee. You get out of there. You don't go into Jerusalem. Many people, many of the Jews, when they saw the Roman armies attacking, they actually went into the city. And that was why there were so many Jews who died. It is estimated about 1 million Jews lost their lives in AD 70. But the Lord Jesus says to his people, flee. Don't try and stop them. Don't try and fight them. Don't try and negotiate with them or try to strike a deal. You flee. You flee from them for your own preservation. And that is how we are to read these verses. And well, that is, well, we can apply that to us. We have to flee from all this liberalism, all this unbelief that we see in the world around us and in the church. We see so much liberalism in the church, and we have to flee from it. It's coming in wholesale. That's why we don't take part in any conferences where there are churches who engage in liberal practices. We flee from them. We separate ourselves from them. There is a separation from them, and more so in these end times, because it seems the Lord is saying, you can't debate with people in these end times. There will be a great apostasy. There will be terrible things done in the church. You could try to negotiate with them, but they won't hear you. They're hardened in their hearts. Don't waste your time. You may get sucked in to their evil ways. Just flee from them. Be separate. Stand apart. That is what we have to do in the end times. And well, that is very valuable advice. Sometimes, well, we live in the age of theological debates. If you were to go maybe online, on the internet, on YouTube possibly, there are so many debates, Christian debates. But really, those debates are ways of sucking good people into error. It gives Satan a chance to present his case. Let's have a debate. There was one debate I saw. Should the church accept homosexuality? Is there a place for homosexuality in the church? Well, that shouldn't be debated. It's very clear from the Word of God that there isn't, that these things are an abomination. But well, in these days, let's just have a debate. And what happens? Oh, many people listen to these things and think, oh, well, maybe we should be accepting these people. He's given a good case for it. But these things, well, we ought to flee from these things. The time for debate, for negotiation is gone. They won't hear us. When you see all these abominations, all these things coming into the church, just flee. Look to the Word of God, trust in the Word of God. But well, you keep yourselves, you preserve yourselves, And this is how we ought to interpret these words. Verse 15, "And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment." Well, the Lord is saying, though, this will be costly. It will be costly to break off ties, to break off associations with those who once were sound and now they've apostatized. It will be costly. It will cost us very much, but we have to do it. And well, not just in church circles, but well, we see in this world so many things that are being corrupted, and we have to separate ourselves from them. We think of the teaching profession, for example. Not so long ago, well, there wouldn't have been any problem at all for a devout Christian, a Bible-believing Christian, to be a teacher, even in a secular school, no problem at all. But now teachers are being asked, you have to teach this immoral thing, you have to promote it, you have to endorse it. And the Lord is saying, you have to come away from those things. It'll be costly. You have to leave things out of your house, things that ordinarily you would have had, that are legitimate to have. But in these last days, you have to think about separating yourselves, fleeing from those things, or else you will be sucked in to your hurt, to your spiritual hurt. And these things are very serious. These things all explain to us the darkness of the last days. Let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. And verse 17, "But woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days, and pray ye that your flight be not in the winter." Well, again, literally speaking, AD 70, so many were fleeing from Jerusalem, but it would have been hard for them. Woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck. Those newborn children and nursing mothers would have been very hard for them. And verse 18, "And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter." But something comes from that verse particularly that is some encouragement for us, at least. And I'd like to add another title at this point. The end times, despite their darkness, will be a time for prayer. A time for prayer. "Pray ye that your flight be not in the winter." Yes, these times are very dark, but don't stop praying, the Lord is saying. Don't stop praying. Yes, well, Satan will have his day. The forces of atheism and unbelief will appear to triumph over many things, but still pray. Pray that the Lord will hold back the worst excesses, that the Lord will prevent the worst triumphs of atheism and unbelief. Still pray. We don't just sit back in these difficult times and think, oh, well, it's no use doing anything. It's not use praying. It's no use going out to witness to the church. Nothing will happen. These are dark times. These are end times. We just have to wait for the Lord Jesus to come again. No, the command is pray. Pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. Pray that there will still be souls saved. Pray that people will still come into the church and know and find the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray. We don't have a fatalistic attitude. We pray for these things, that your flight be not in the winter. And that is a sign of encouragement for us. But then in verse 19, we move down, "For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be." Well, that's just a confirmation, really, that the end times will not be like any other time in history. They will be very different, such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time. It won't be the case that things are normal and then the Lord will come. No, there will be an unprecedented time of affliction. And that's just a confirmation of it. But well, there'll be affliction. We spoke last time of wars and kingdoms against kingdom, nation rising against nation, earthquakes, natural disasters, but that won't be the only type of affliction. There will be social unrest, there will be crime, there may be lawlessness, violence, suspicion, open evil and rebellion against God. These will be the afflictions, such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time. Neither shall be. It will be a conspicuously evil time. And verse 20, and except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. Well, our final title this evening is, the end times will be a short time. It will be a short time. The days will be shortened, the Lord is saying. And there are many interpretations of that. One interpretation, which I tend to agree with, the shortening of the days actually means an acceleration of time, an acceleration of events. Events that descend into wickedness and immorality, but it's an acceleration. We have seen in the last 30 years or 40 years a great acceleration of immorality, of wickedness on issues such as abortion and even homosexuality. Things that you would have thought would have taken years for people to change their mind about. And it's just changed just like that. And in such a short space of time, people have turned from being decent and moral to being very immoral, very wicked in their ways. And it's taken only a short amount of time. Ordinarily, it would have taken a long amount of time. When you look back through history, a gradual descent, but it's taken a very short amount of time. The days have been shortened. There's been an acceleration of wickedness. And that's how we could see it, and we certainly see that in these times. The days have been shortened. But well, this is the great paradox. We are distressed at how things have changed in such a short time. Such a short time, everything's changed. Good has been turned into evil, evil into good. We are distressed, but actually, it's the Lord shortening the days. We are accelerating towards the time when he shall return. So when we see this great downfall, this great acceleration into wickedness, there's actually hope that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon. There's a great paradox. Wickedness on the one hand, increasing, increasing. We cannot keep up with it, and yet we know that eventually we're going to be speeding ourselves to Christ, to his coming again, his second coming. A great paradox, but how encouraging that is for us. For the elect's sake, these days shall be shortened. Whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. Those days will be shortened for us. And well, isn't that just like our Lord and Savior? The Lord so kind to his people, even in the last days. The Lord does not give us anything more than we can bear. And he is true to his word. Even in the last days, the elect, well, yes, we will be persecuted. We will struggle. We will suffer. But he will never give us anything more than we can bear. And so when we know this, when we understand this, we ought not to fear anything that is in the future. We ought not to fear any increasing wickedness or any increasing immorality. We think of all the restrictions that are being planned upon the preaching of God's word, restrictions on how we are to evangelize, on how we can share the gospel with people, not just in this country, but in other countries. We've heard recently of a law that is proposed in Russia that will severely curtail any evangelism, and well, these things are coming in. But well, when these things come and threaten us, we know that these things will not be anything more than we can bear. We will be able to bear them. We will be able to continue and to persevere, to endure right to the end, as the Lord Jesus Christ has already mentioned in this chapter. And that is such a great comfort for us. He gives us nothing more than we can bear. For the elect's sake, he has shortened those days. So this is the great tribulation, as it were. We won't go any further this evening. This is the great tribulation, and there are some interpretations of end times that say the Lord's people won't be there for the great tribulation, that they will be taken up, translated, as we were considering this morning, to be with the Lord. They can't be here for this great tribulation. But when you actually look at these words and what we've considered this evening, it's very clear we will be here for the great tribulation, for these trying times. But we have nothing to fear. The Lord said in that reading in John chapter 16, "In this world ye shall know tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And so when we think of these things, we don't need to pray to be removed from the tribulation. We just pray, Lord, grant us strength to bear it, to be light bearers, to witness to others, to pray without ceasing, and to keep ourselves unspotted from those who seek to drag us into error. Those ought to be our great principles and our great motives. Well, I will end there this evening, but may that be a great blessing and an encouragement to each one of us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we think of these end times, and Lord, we feel, we perceive that we are in the midst of them. But Lord, we know that they shall be nothing more than we can bear. Thou art with us. Thou art our captain, our king, our guide. Bless us and help us that we may endure to the end. Lord, forgive us all our sin. Forgive us all our waywardness. Show us the way that we ought to walk and live in these dark times. But Lord, we do pray that Christ may be glorified. Use us as instruments that we may be granted great joy in thy service. We ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.